no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
We have Fred Fuentes on the phone from Caracas. It's been a big month and a busy week with the state and municipal elections. That's the mayors and the state governors. And I asked Fred if he was celebrating or commiserating the results.
Well, I think really in the context of the results of the election, the general mood, particularly amongst those that are supportive of the revolution, is a bit of reflection. Generally, we've a positive attitude. In the sense that, you know, the PSUV, the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, won 17 out of 22 governorships, won some 81% of the mayoral offices, and, you know, strongly consolidated itself as the primary political force in the country with almost 5 million votes compared to the party that came second in number of votes, being an opposition party that only just scraped over the 1 million mark. But you know, of course, the flip side of that and what's been, you know, part of the big discussion that's been occurring here in Venezuela is the fact that the opposition have succeeded in winning three of the states that have the largest population, those being Zulia, Carabobo and Miranda, and also having control of Greater Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. And that's obviously, you know, been seen by many of the forces supporting the revolution as a bit of a blow, more than a bit of a blow. And, you know, of course, there's a reflection going on as to, you know, what exactly occurred there and how can we explain that particular electoral outcome.
And what sort of reflection is taking place? Is it too early to, have a post-mortem analysis at this stage of what actually happened?
No, I think, you know, very clearly some of the explanations for these results are coming out. And I think to understand these results, it's essential to put these elections in context. Because as you mentioned, these were regional elections. They were elections for governors and mayors and also candidates for the legislative councils at the level of the different states. Here in Venezuela, there are 23 states, although one of the states did not have elections for governors and legislative council, that being the state of Amazonas in the south. Those elections did not occur because of a by-election that occurred before the previous regional elections. They are sort of 6 months out of whack, and next year there will be elections in those areas. But of the 20, you know, there was elections for the other 22 states and also the greater Caracas area that occurred. Now, but in many ways, these elections were much more than just, you know, I think it would be a mistake to just view them as purely just elections just for individual governors and mayors. And I think there's three key factors to keep in mind when trying to analyse these results to get the real political significance of what occurred on November 23. The first one would be the fact that in the last regional elections that occurred, which were in 2004, the Chavista forces, those that were supporting President Hugo Chavez, won 20 of the 22 states. Now, this time they won 17, but there are a couple of explanations for that. Firstly, is the fact that during the 2004 elections, the opposition were reeling from the massive defeat that they had faced in the recall referendum aimed at ousting Chavez that had only occurred some 2 months before. And out of which sections of the opposition who had been crying fraud and saying that the whole concept had been rigged decided to abstain from that election. So you had a very different political map from what you had in these elections where the opposition came out in force to vote as opposed to 4 years ago where a large part of them abstained. I think that's one factor to take into consideration. The second factor to take into consideration is that these elections occur after the first defeat that the pro-Chavez forces have faced, and that was the one that, of course, that occurred at the end of last year in the referendum over Chavez's proposed constitutional reform. That, while a big and sometimes confusing package, ultimately were aimed at opening up space for deepening the revolution, for increasing popular power, but which in the end were narrowly defeated in the vote. And so that of course was always going to have an impact on these elections. But I think further, in some ways perhaps the most important, is that this election campaign, much more than being just for mayors and governors, was really turned into a sort of referendum, was Chavism following its defeat last year on the decline, or, was this revolutionary, was that result just an anomaly, and the revolutionary process was having learned the lessons of why it was defeated last year, being able to recuperate. All those factors, sort of play on the results that occurred here. Now, in that context, the Chavista forces increased their vote from some slightly over 4 million last year to 5.5 million votes this year. And that's not including some of the votes that, it's debatable, but, could potentially be included in the pro-Chavez votes. And those are votes that went to sort of what here in Venezuela have been referred to as dissident candidates, those that have stood outside of the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, in some cases, in minority, but in some cases as an expression of discontent with those candidates that the PSUV was putting forward. But in the majority of cases, really representing candidates or standing governors that had really rapidly moved to the right and been rejected by the bases, but that positioned themselves to stand once again, or in the case of Guarico, the governor there proposed his daughter to run in those positions. This sort of dissident Chavista voted sort of managed to get some 400,000 votes, but compared to the 5.5 million, really was a marginal vote. But the Chavista forces in general increased their vote. The opposition candidates decreased their vote slightly, but decreased their vote from the end of last year. But in that context, some anomalies occurred, or some results that can be explained for other reasons occurred, and these really are the five states and the greater Caracas area, where the opposition have won. And I think it's necessary to sort of go into a bit of depth to understand why these occurred. Firstly, the two states the opposition had won in the previous election, they maintained control of. And as I explained before, this was in the context of in the previous election in a large abstention from the opposition. So it was always going to be difficult to regain control of those. And the opposition was able to regain its control over those, but in some of the other states, they face some difficulties where previously it had been a narrow margin, and that this time they were fighting to recuperate that sort of support base that they had lost in the lead up to the referendum last year. And while nationally that vote had increased, in some particular states that was unable to be enough to maintain control of those states. In some cases, for instance, in the state of Carabobo, where the governorship had previously been won by Chavista candidate, but as I mentioned, was one of the cases where the candidate had broken with the PSUV, had stood against the PSUV, dividing the Chavista vote, had allowed the opposition to narrowly scrape in an area that the Chavistas had only narrowly won last time. Mm. In Táchira, in a border region with Colombia, where, of course, the influence of the paramilitaries that we've sort of talked about in previous interviews and U.S. intervention, also there had impact to ensure what would previously narrowly won governorship by the Chavista forces, this time narrowly went to the opposition. But I think the biggest talking point and the biggest surprise in many ways is the result in Caracas area and Miranda.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the factors were that brought about that result. Apart from it being an urban population, was it because they were exposed more to the opposition media?
I think there was three factors. One factor is what you mentioned there about the opposition media and also the conscious campaign by the opposition to target that area. This sort of comes across two factors. The first being that the greater Caracas area and the state of Miranda encompasses a big part of the sort of middle class and upper class sections of Venezuelan society that tend to live in the east of Caracas. And so obviously that's a strong heart base. I mean, that was the sort of, the epicenter in many ways of the coup attempt in 2002. And, there's been a continuous side of resistance against the Chavez government. So, the opposition there already count on a strong support base in that area, in which the Chavista forces have been unable to really sort of make big inroads into building up its support there. That's on one part. Another part is on the fact that the opposition have consciously also campaigned some of the poorer sections in that area. And here the question of US intervention is very key. And I talk specifically here about the sort of poor barrios in the area of Petare, which is the biggest sort of area, poor neighbourhood in Caracas, and where, you know, for a number of reasons, too many to really go into detail, but for a number of reasons, although it's a very poor area, has always, you know, not been had such of a militant history as some of the other sort of poor areas in Caracas. And the opposition have, through the, you know, what they've called the popular networks that are funded directly by US aid and other sort of US, you know, sponsored sort of NGOs and institutions have specifically targeted this area to make sort of inroads into the poor area. Those are, I think, two factors, you know, the middle class population that exists there, the conscious work the opposition has done with the support of US imperialism to win support in the poor areas. But I think probably more than those two reasons is the fact that both the previous mayors and governors that had jurisdiction over this area had done such a dismal job, had done such a poor job that many of these people really, you know, felt like passing on the, you know, making clear their opposition to the fact that, you know, the Chavista candidates had done, you know, such a miserable job in their positions, and also the fact that some of the candidates in that area were also strongly sort of opposed by the sort of poor sectors. Despite the fact that overall across the country, the Chavista forces, in large part because Chavez was able to generate a campaign where, you know, people felt that this was necessary to go out and vote, not for an individual candidate, but for the Chavez and for the revolution in this particular sector. You know, this was unable to convince those people who really had, you know, an opposition to what had occurred with the previous Chavista mayors and didn't particularly like some of the candidates that were being proposed, was unable to turn out the vote on the day to secure the victory in Petare, as I mentioned, the biggest barrio in Caracas, but which overlaps both the Miranda governorship and also the Alcaldía Mayor. As a fourth but sort of slightly less factor was the result that occurred in Municipio Libertador, which is the biggest of the municipal councils in Caracas and is to the east in the other sort of popular area of Caracas, where Chavista forces were able to win, and this is the biggest municipality in Caracas, but they certainly weren't able to win with as big a margin as before, and this of course had an impact in the overall vote for the greater Caracas region.
Is this going to have an effect on the way the grassroots organisations work in that part of Caracas? You know, having an opposition mayor might make that kind of the missions, the misiones as they call them, and the grassroots organisations, it might make their work a little bit more difficult.
Oh, we're already beginning to see that. I mean, even just, you know, only days after the election, we're already starting to hear stories and seeing the news of community groups that had previously used spaces of the, you know, the mayor's office of the Greater Caracas in Miranda and in some of the other opposition states that have been booted out. One symbolic example is Avala TV, which belonged to the Greater Caracas mayor's office and was, you know, basically a TV station run by young people for young people that was quite progressive and really had the potential and had begun to fulfill that potential of reaching out to an audience of young people in Venezuelan society, but which the new, you know, mayor-elect has already begun to make moves to evict these people from the building and take control of that TV station. So already today we saw an important battle to re-ensure control by the Chavistas of this TV station. And this is just one of many examples that have already begun to occur. So there's no doubt that, you know, this is going to open up a phase, in if not immediately, at least in the short term, you know, open confrontation between communities and these opposition governorships and mayor's offices. And I think what the important bit is that even though we saw the defeat in this area of the Chavista forces in electoral terms, What is important to note is that the electoral result itself demonstrated that the PSUV as a party, the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, has definitively stamped itself as the key political force in the country. And I think it has not just done that, but also increase its level of organisation. I think what we are bound to see in the next period is in areas particularly like Caracas and Miranda is a reorganisation and a reinforcement of the PSUV as a political party, you know, in opposition to these governorships that, you know, frankly have been won by, you know, openly sort of fascistic candidates. I mean, if we look at Greater Caracas, we're talking about Ledesma, you know, a person who was openly involved in the 2002 coup attempt against Chavez. If we look at the state of Miranda, that was won by Capriles, Enrique Capriles. This guy was involved in the attack on the Cuban embassy that occurred during the 2002 coup. We're talking about, you know, people that are certainly not going to lose time in using the positions that they've now gained to, you know, open fire against the national government. And I think, you know, this is going to open up a different political climate that exists in Venezuela and particularly in Caracas, but also in some of the other areas as well.
I was a bit curious about what was happening in Zula. I know that was a fairly sensitive state or province, and it was very close to Colombia, and there was a lot of influence and, you know, a few whispers of secession.
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, just before I answer that question, just to put it into a little bit of context, only a few months before the elections, Chavez had sort of talked about that, you know, really the opposition had a three-pronged strategy of how they wanted to, you know, open up a new phase of an offensive against the government. Now, this phase involved, firstly, winning the border regions between Venezuela and Colombia, from which they could destabilize the country, including the involvement of paramilitaries and whatnot. And these were fundamentally the states of Zulia and Táchira, which they have won. Secondly, was the question of winning, of basically surrounding the capital, and that is not just winning Greater Caracas, but Miranda, Carabobo, Guarico, and Aragua. Now, they haven't been able to win all of those, but out of those five, they've won three. And the third prong of their strategy was a secessionist sort of movement, at least that's the way the Chavez sort of talked about it, in the eastern region, which would have been the states of Sucre and Bolivar. Now, in that area, they weren't successful. In that area, the Chavista forces were able to win. But, you know, in the sort of scenario that Chavez had talked about, two out of those three have come to fruition. Now, I think that doesn't mean that the opposition really is in such a strong position as they are, because, as I said, What the election results for me reflect is that despite, you know, what we could talk about in electoral terms of who won what and what, in the national vote, the Chavista forces clearly recuperated from the defeat they had suffered last year, and the PSUV was a strong part of that. But more importantly, perhaps, than that was the sort of strong support that was demonstrated, or the sentiment that existed amongst popular sectors, that this vote was not about individual candidates, but it was about defending Chavez and the revolution, and that's why people turned out to vote. And that was clearly expressed on the election day itself, where, although, you know, sort of voter turnout early in the day was relatively high, by about midday there was a sense that there was a lot of other states that were in trouble as well, apart from the ones that ended up being lost. And what we saw in the afternoon was a massive turnout, you know, as the PSUV mobilised to ensure that, you know, the worst case scenario wouldn't come to fruition. And I think in the end, you know, turned around some of, you know, results that possibly could have ended up in defeat. Now, in this context, Zulia was always going to be hard. Zulia had previously been won by the opposition, perhaps the only, up until now, you know, national figure of the opposition was the governor of Zulia. Zulia is a strategic zone, being on the border with Colombia, being an oil-rich area, and also being one of the most sort of, well, actually being the state with the largest population. That was always going to be a hard state. Chavez had definitely, you know, spent a lot of the election campaigning time in Zulia trying to secure a victory there. And also there was a big campaign put against the current governor, Manuel Rosales, you know, because of, you know, strong evidence that came out of his involvement in corruption and in many other issues. Now, despite that, the Chavista forces were unable to win, although they certainly put up a very good fight. But I think that more than the question of some secessionist movement or anything like that, which I think in the current political situation in Venezuela is very unlikely, perhaps a pretext for some border confrontation with Colombia is a possibility, but I don't see that happening in the short term. And certainly I don't think the Venezuelan military would accept any sort of secessionist movement. But more I think what we could potentially see is a conflict, not just with Zulia, although Zulia would be the sort of epicenter of that conflict, but would have national ramifications, is the fact that the government had gone so hard against Manuel Rosales on these claims of, not just claims, you know, with clear evidence of corruption, of, you know, fraud and whatnot, that really they're in a position where it's unlikely that they will not continue to pursue this. And Manuel Rosales, although he did not stand for governor of Zulia, was elected as the mayor of Maracaibo, the capital of Zulia. And I envisage a situation where the governor will continue to pursue this case in the courts and possibly end up with a situation where this guy will be found guilty and put in jail. And I think that, of course, will create a very conflictive situation in Venezuela.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be becoming more polarised. And I'm just wondering, how is the brigade going? The Australians are over there. Have you had much contact with the brigade?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, we've been having a range of events, talking to communal councils, to members of the PSUV, trade union leaders, visiting some of the social missions, and of course participating on election day itself as observers, where many of the Australians were able to go and see firsthand how the electoral process occurs here in Venezuela and talk to people in the queues for voting and stuff like that. So up until now, there are still a number of days to go, and I'm sure they will be just as successful as the first few days, but certainly the overall impression has been very positive for people that have been able to be here and of course try to absorb, you know, what occurred here on November 23, which, you know, sort of, you know, you mentioned, and I think it's worth going into just to sort of answer very quickly the question of, was it a defeat, was it a victory? I think fundamentally what these results showed is that, you know, the people are willing to go on and defend Chavez, and when push comes to shove, when the danger is there, that people will mobilise to go and defend Chavez. Perhaps not necessarily all of the candidates that he tries to, you know, convince people to go and vote for, because they'll reject them as being involved with the old politics of corruption or whatnot. But certainly the result, for me, the result reflects a partial recuperation from you know, the loss of some 3 million votes last year in the constitutional reform, because we should remember only the year before that, in 2006, Chavismo had won 7 million votes and dropped to 4 million, now back up to 5.5. So that's an important recuperation, but still a way to go. But more importantly is I think the results and what occurred on the day show that, you know, when people feel that the revolution and Chavez are in danger, they will put aside the differences to go on and try and ensure this vote. But in some cases, you know, they just, you know, the rottenness, or, you know, maybe perhaps it's a strong word, but, you know, the right-wing nature of some of these candidates, you know, was too strong to convince people to go out and vote. And that's something that internally the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, the revolutionary process as a whole, will have to deal with, discuss, and work out how to cleanse the revolution, how to do what Chavez has always talked about, the revolution within the revolution.
And just a final question, Fred, you're talking about, you know, various issues coming up, specifically in Zulia and the possibility that the mayor will be tried on criminal charges and various other issues. Now, this to me, it sounds to me as if there is sort of an increasing polarisation going there. Are you concerned, given the fact that they're under so much scrutiny and bad-mouthing from the mainstream press of the Western countries?
Well, look, I think at this point in time, it's a little bit early to define exactly what's going to happen in the next period. I think the signals point to increasing confrontation, and that's because, as I said, you know, certainly the reflection by the leadership of the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, which I think is in large part correct, of, you know, an increased vote for Chavismo, an increased support for accelerating the revolution, an increased vote for making further moves against, you know, private capital, will of course place them in direct confrontation to, you know, the pro-capitalist opposition. And also the fact that the opposition have already, within days, moved to start kicking out Chavista forces, kicking out popular movements, kicking out communal councils from, you know, spaces that they previously owned that belonged to pro-Chavez sort of mayorships. But you know, I think if we had a sensible, you know, opposition that could actually think, that had a political project, which doesn't exist in Venezuela, but if we had one, really the logical path, you know, drawing the conclusions of what we've seen, would be to continue down the electoral road, ensure good government management, ensure that they're able to do what previous Chavista mayors and governors haven't been able to do, although, you know, I don't want to generalize and say this is the case in all cases, but, you know, sort of provide a model of, you know, what could be if, you know, in a different scenario. I mean, that is one potential avenue that Chavista forces could take. And part of that is envisaged in some of the discourse that has been coming out of the opposition. I mean, the classic case being the governor-elect of Miranda, who today was all of the media talking about, you know, we're going to defend the social missions, we're going to improve the social missions, more health, free healthcare, more education. You know, the difference is that we're going to make it plural and involve everyone and not just be, you know, one political stripe that everyone can be involved in it. But, you know, at the same time, this is the same person that's kicking out people out of, you know, spaces occupied by the popular movements. So I think the tendency tends towards to be more confrontation. Perhaps not immediately, perhaps, you know, I think certainly what is one thing that is clear is that, you know, certainly the opposition candidates that were elected were in no way elected on a mandate of, you know, get rid of Chavez. In fact, you know, one of the key things the opposition tried to do in this campaign was to avoid the question of Chavez, was to avoid the question of the social missions, and really paint themselves as kind of the people that are for a united, harmonious Venezuela as opposed to the polarizing figure of Chavez. And I think, you know, the idea that they could immediately come out and polarize the political situation and go into open confrontation against Chavez is, you know, sort of seems to be, you know, would be a difficult question for them to deal with. But if we look at the overall panorama of, you know, who are these people, where have they come from, what have they already attempted against Chavez? As I mentioned before, many of these were directly involved in the coup attempt in 2002. Mm. And the actions that we've seen just in a few days points to a picture of next year being a year of, you know, certainly some confrontation. And with that, you know, reorganization of the PSUV, a strengthening of the PSUV, and, you know, and potentially, you know, a real push forward by the revolution itself at the same time.
Mm. Well, Fred, you're living in a very interesting country in very interesting times, and thank you very much for sharing that experience with us.
Not a problem, Warren. Always a pleasure.